And sometimes it's hard to press through those dry times. But perseverance is one of the characteristics the Lord is looking to develop in the saints. Thinking about ISIS, and John was talking about the terrible things happening over in Iraq and Syria and the Christians who are suffering there and stuff. It made me think of a verse in Genesis 15, verse 16. The Lord has been speaking to Abraham about what's going to happen to his descendants. And he says that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. He's talking about your descendants are going to go down into Egypt and be in captivity for 400 years is what he's saying there. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here to the promised land, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And I just thought about that, that sometimes things go on in the world and we wonder, well, what is God allowing that to happen for? Why is that going on? Why does God allow these things to happen? Why did God allow the godless Soviets to rule for 70 odd years over there in Russia and Eastern Europe and persecute so many people? Why does God allow these kinds of things to happen? And I don't have all the answers, but I know that God is a patient God. He's very patient. He is always looking for people to repent. You know, from the story of Jonah, that he gave the city of Nineveh, the most wicked city on earth at that time, the opportunity to repent. And Jonah didn't want to give them that opportunity. But God is a patient God. And so in the case Abraham was dwelling amongst the people of the promised land that God was eventually going to judge, but God says their iniquity is not yet complete. The measure of it isn't yet filled up. And we could say that about the whole world. Why is God delaying His return? The iniquity of the world isn't yet filled up. And God is still waiting for people, giving them the opportunity to repent. This is still a day of grace. Hallelujah. One of the songs we sang this morning had a line in it, something about my heart is glad because the Lord has chosen me or set me apart or something to that effect, that my heart is so glad because the Lord has chosen me. And I hope your heart is just glad this morning that the Lord has set His affection on you, that He's chosen you, that He wants you. Our hearts should just be thrilled by that. Because the opposite possibility is, what if God didn't want us? What if He chose to reject us? That would not be a good thing. But I'm so glad. The Scriptures say that the Lord loves us. He wants us. He chooses us. Well, we're in a battle. Anybody feel that they're not in a battle? We're in a battle. And we're in a battle for identity. In a battle for our identity. And it's more important than ever to know, to really know who and what a Christian is. To really know who and what a Christian is. To know who you are as a believer. We really need to know that. All right, are we ready to go? Ready to roll? Here's a psalm, part of a psalm, Psalm 40, verses 6 through 9 here, that's kind of been speaking in my heart. And Steve says it's been speaking to him too, this psalm and some of the verses that are related to this psalm and the scriptures. And it's a prophetic psalm. This is Jesus speaking, saying, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire," speaking to God, "but my ears you have opened," and I need to make a comment on that phrase right there. The New King James says it, "my ears you have opened," but other translations you'll see, "my ears you have pierced." My ears you have pierced. "Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." I delight to do your will. How many of you can say, "I delight to do your will, O God"? I love to do your will, God. It's what I want to do when I get up in the morning. Lord, your will is more important to me. The chickens can wait. Or whatever's on the to-do list can wait. If it's not your will, Lord, I want to do your will. Well, that might not be our natural feeling all the time. But Jesus came, and this was true of Him. "I delight to do your will," He said. "Your law is within my heart." Now, to really understand this scripture, we need to understand what it means when He says, "My ears you have pierced," would be, I think, the better translation. We need to reference Exodus 21, the first six verses, which talks about a condition of being a servant. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years. There was a limit to how long you could keep your fellow Hebrew as a slave. He shall serve 6 years, and the seventh he shall go out free. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, his wife shall go out with him. There's these provisions. Verse 5, "But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, I love my master, I will not go out free. I love my master. I want to stray. I want to stay, I mean. Then his master shall bring him to the judges, shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." There was... If a person wanted to be a slave to a master on a perpetual basis, there was a provision for that in the law. You can become a slave forever because you love the master. Now, I don't know how often that actually happened. Just knowing human beings, I can't imagine that many masters earned that kind of love from their servants, but there it is. And that scripture there is what informs us about the scripture in Psalms. My ears you have pierced. And Jesus was saying to the Father, and the psalmist was saying to God, I love you. I want to do your will. I want to be your slave. Couple other slides here. That's the only picture I could find with reference to that passage. I don't know if that's what it actually looked like when the servant's ear was pierced, but I can imagine it would probably be painful. Never had my ears pierced, so I don't know. But and when we're talking about being pierced with an awl, the tool at the bottom is what we think of as an awl, but my research says that those wooden sharp objects was probably what they're talking about, that those things would be put through your ear and left there. And that would be a sign of your servitude, your status as a slave. And there are cultures yet today who wear things like that in their ears. So anyway, but it would be something you might want to think about, do I?
Yeah, no kidding.
How serious am I? But the point of those scriptures is that the Lord doesn't want religious performance. He doesn't want sacrifice and offering and rituals and things given as a substitute for ourselves. The Lord wants us. He wants our love. He wants our devotion. He wants voluntary service. He doesn't want to have to force us to do things. He wants our voluntary service. He wants our whole lives to be given as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Like the servant, here's a portion of my body. I'll sacrifice my earlobe so that I can do your will, Master. Be a living sacrifice. And what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? As opposed to some other kind of sacrifice that you put something on the altar, you kill an animal, there's an act that's performed, it's done once, it's burned up, it's over, it's gone. But a living sacrifice is something that continues. Day after day. It means to live sacrificially, by giving up your will to serve His will, the will of the Master. Which isn't natural to us. That's not how we naturally operate. Where do we get that from? Where does this love, this devotion, this willing sacrifice come from? Well, we see it in Hebrews 10, again, speaking about Jesus. Jesus came and He offered the perfect sacrifice and the devotion, and He made us holy by His sacrifice. When He came into the world, He said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God." And He takes away the law. He takes away all that other stuff to establish this other thing. I have come to do your will. And by that will, we have been sanctified. We have been set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for all. By His will, we have been set apart. He has willed something that we wouldn't even will for ourselves. When it was the last thought in our minds to offer ourselves to God, He offered us to God. And by that will, we have been sanctified. We have been set apart. We have been made holy by His will. It comes from Him. It's a supernatural operation. It's a gift. It's imparted. It's imputed. It's whatever words you can find. But it comes from Him. And He puts His law in our hearts. He writes it on our minds. Kind of like the one song we were singing this morning. Even if to write on our hearts and remind us that we belong to Him, that we're His. It's the renewing of the mind that transforms us. It comes from His will. Another long passage here in 2 Corinthians. It starts off saying, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This life that Jesus gives, this gift of His salvation, we have it in these earthen vessels. Who we are, what we are. All our history and our baggage and our weakness and our failure. And our broken arms and our cut fingers and all the other stuff. But in these earthen vessels, God has put His treasure. This amazing treasure. So that the excellence of the power may be of Him and not of us. It's His power working in us. And we have all these circumstances in our lives. We're hard-pressed, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're struck down, but we're not crushed. We're not in despair, we're not forsaken, we're not destroyed. And we carry about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our body. And then verse 13 down here. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. We have the same spirit of faith. And therefore, we speak. Jesus came with the spirit of faith and He spoke and He said, it is written of me in the scroll of the book, I love to do your will. And we can say with the same spirit, it's written of me. It's written of us. I love to do your will. I come to do your will. That's what I'm here for. And we know that God is there to back us up with His power. God is there to manifest His resurrection power even in these bodies and these circumstances that we face in the midst of the pressures and the trials and all of that stuff. You know, what is the Christian life? Is it a performance of rituals and duties? Is the Christian life this thing where, okay, I have this schedule, I come to church on Sunday morning, and then there's this thing on Wednesday night? You know, is it an offering of goods and services to the Lord? Is it an amount of something that I bring to satisfy God and earn His approval? Is there some price tag I can put on that? Makes me think of these guys. Cain tried to earn God's approval. He brought an offering of the fruit of his toil, and he was rejected. And it didn't matter how big or beautiful or perfect or abundant the fruit was. God is not interested in our toil, the works of our hands. That's not what God is looking for. What we produce can never satisfy Him. It's not about the works. In that situation, it's the man that's all wrong. Sinful man can never please God. The natural man is always rejected. Cain tried to please God in his own strength, with his own works. Doesn't work. Abel brought a sacrifice of devotion. When he brought a lamb for an offering, it was an offering of devotion. It was a life for a life. It was the offering of a heart that acknowledges, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy, but yet I crave communion. One person simply craved approval for the sake of his own ego. The other person craved communion and fellowship. He wanted to lose his ego in the worship of the other, the worship of God, whatever the cost was. I think of Job. One statement of Job. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. There's all this bad stuff happening and I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust the Lord. Well, this kind of devotion, this kind of commitment to faith is not natural to us. It's the gift of God. It's imparted by the Spirit. It is already His will for us. It's His will for us as demonstrated in Christ. And all we have to do is believe it and receive it. Claim it and profess it. This is who I am. This is who I am. I am of Christ. I am of Christ. He came to do the will of God. He comes to do the same thing in me. He's living in me. Here I am. Do with me as you will, Lord. Just do with me whatever you want, Lord. I love to do your will. You know, God isn't asking for us to feel something. This is one of the big fallacies that we have, is that we are waiting for God to make us feel something. I'm waiting for God to move me. He's not asking for us to feel something. And He's not asking us to do something in the sense that Cain did works. But He's calling us to believe. He's calling us to believe it and profess it. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Confess with your mouth that He is Lord. Ever thought about what that means? He is Lord. Lord, You are Lord. You're Lord. That means I'm not Lord. I submit to You. I love to do Your will. What do you think is written in the scroll of God's book about you? What is written in God's book about you? Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're saved, your name is written there. What else do you think is written there? What are you going to find written there? Oh, she's so sincere. She tries so hard. Well, He's always preaching for me and doing miracles in the streets. Oh, wait a minute. That was those guys at the end of Matthew chapter 7, wasn't it? The ones that didn't end so well for those guys. Depart from me, I never knew you. No, what's written in the book is simply, I love to do Your will. I love to do Your will. I think I got it on the next slide. I delight to do Your will. Your law is within my heart. That's where God writes on us. That's the life that Jesus lives in us. If we believe it and receive it, He lives that life in us. And we come to Paul's great confession in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Paul's identifying himself with Christ. And it's no longer I who lives. It's no longer that old Saul of Tarsus. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It really is no sacrifice to give my life to be a living sacrifice. Because when we receive Christ, we receive the life of the Son. And He imparts His devotion to us. The willingness, the obedience that He had, it comes into us. He comes to live His life in us and through us. And my will, whatever my will was, it's set aside. That's been crucified. No longer relevant. And we need to have this firmly in us as our identity in this day and age. We really need to know that we have Christ living inside of us. There's just something been stirring in me lately saying you need to know that, because in these days, in these times, anything less than that isn't going to get you through. You need to know that Christ lives in you. Need to know that. This exchange here that Paul is talking about, this is what's at the heart of our transformation. And it takes revelation, it takes renewal of the mind to grasp it every day. But nevertheless, we have to claim it. We have to believe it by faith, against all feeling. Our feelings are going to be totally the opposite some days. It's not about our feelings. Claim this against all the contrary evidence of the flesh, these weak earthen vessels we live in. Claim this as your identity. I am a new creation. I am a child of God. And the Spirit bears witness with my spirit. Even if I can barely hear it some days, the Spirit is bearing witness with my spirit. I am a child of God. And I love you, Lord. I'm here to do your will today. Hallelujah. Even on the days when you think the chicken coop is calling to you. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? More than once, Jesus made statements of this nature. If you seek to keep your life, to preserve your life or your soul, you will lose it. But if you lose it for my sake, you will find it. You will receive it. You will get a new life, an eternal life, the Holy Spirit life. And what we get out of that bargain is much better than what we give up. Much better. So are you the servant who loves the Master and would serve Him all your days? Has your heart been pierced at the altar of His sacrifice? Believe it and profess it. Don't wait for a sign. Don't wait for a feeling. Don't think you first have to prove yourself worthy or make yourself more holy or get more spiritual or more educated or anything like that. Because today, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today is a day to say, I am yours. All of me is yours, Lord. I'm yours, all of me. Take me, make me whatever you will. Do with me whatever you will. Take me wherever you will. Send me, I will go. Make this transaction today, Lord. Your life for my life. Your will for my will. That's what I want. It's written in the book. It's written about me. I delight to do your will. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, I just pray this morning that more than anything else, that each one of us would know and know that we know that Christ is alive in us, that Christ lives in us, and that He lives in us to live through us. And I pray, Lord, that You would continue to transform us by the renewing of our minds. Continue revealing to us day by day what it is to be a new creation. And Lord, let that life come through even these poor earthen vessels. Let it peek through, shine through like a sun through the clouds, Lord, and have an impact on our world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.